What should we not take in pregnancy? What are the things that we should stay away from?
We don't want to be taking anything that is going to be affecting our mental emotional state that could cross the placenta and thus affect the baby's mental emotional state. Yes, you can take colostrum during pregnancy. Yes, you can take creatine during pregnancy. Now, the research on creatine during pregnancy is currently happening, but it's only good. Creatine also is like a naturally occurring thing in our body. It's only good. Everybody wants to know, can I drink coffee in pregnancy? Yes, you can. Is it good for you and your baby? Not necessarily. The research that does exist shows that 300 and more milligrams of caffeine per day has a higher increased risk of miscarriage in the first trimester.
What are your top recommended supplements in pregnancy that every pregnant woman should take?
If I had to wave a magic wand and give every pregnant woman my ideal supplement stack, it would include a really robust, high quality. Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I am your co-host, Dr. Morgan McDermott, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Leah and I share the natural women's health guidance and motherhood guidance that you've been looking for through our fresh, functional, and balanced lens. And today, I'm going to talk all about what supplements are safe in pregnancy, what are my top recommendations, what are the kind of side ones that I would say are sometimes applicable to certain populations, which supplements are in that middle ground category where there's a little bit of nuance we need to discuss about them, and then which supplements are absolute no-nos. So the nutraceuticals, herbs, different things that people have questions about, they're unsure if they can take them or not. And I'm going to make it crystal clear, what should we be taking in pregnancy? What can we consider? And in certain times when we can do that? And then what should we absolutely be avoiding during pregnancy? Let's dive in.
All right, Dr. Morgan, I cannot wait for you to gift us with your amazing wisdom and knowledge on all things supplements for pregnancy, because this can be complicated and confusing. There's so much information on the internet. It's hard to know who to trust and what to do. And I am just really excited for you to break this down. So first question out the gate, what are your top recommended supplements in pregnancy that every pregnant woman should take?
Yeah. Okay. So this episode was really highly recommended. And so we're going to break it all down. So if you're driving in the car and really need to listen to this episode because you have a lot of questions, it might be one that you're going to need to re-listen to, because we're going to go through a lot of different supplements and some of the nuances, if there are nuances. And then there are lots that are also just either a hard yes or a hard no. So a hard yes for me, if I had to wave a magic wand and give everybody, every pregnant woman, my ideal supplement stack, it would include a really robust, high-quality prenatal. I add the qualifiers of really robust and high quality in front of that because there is so many really well-marketed, beautifully packaged prenatals around on the internet these days and just available that have like laughable, fractionable amounts of the nutrients and often in the wrong forms, or a totally kind of random list of nutrients that maybe cover some bases, but they are not what we know a pregnant woman tends to be needing more of while she's creating a new baby and adjusting her entire cardiovascular system, endocrine system. Everything about your body is changing. And so to get a really well-rounded prenatal, there's only a few on the market. And we, you know, choose Needed. We are obsessed with Needed. And that's because you were the one that was the top prenatal formulator for that particular supplement. And so you've done your due diligence into researching what kind of nutrients need to be in it, what are the optimal doses, not just going by the RDA minimums, and how do we actually support women now that we also have clinical trials with Needed's prenatal to show that women are reaping the benefits in their blood. They are actually getting the nutrients that they need. So one other little like quick thing about that, if you don't want to choose the Needed prenatal, is that make sure that your prenatal of some kind, whatever it is, does not have iron in it. Because although I do think that some women should take iron in their pregnancy, it's not going to absorb well in the presence of calcium, which is also in almost all prenatals in general. So although that is something like a side supplement, I'll call those side ones. So we'll have the core and then the side. So the core ones would be your prenatal. Iron will be a side because they need to be dosed differently in the day, a couple hours apart, so that you can actually absorb your iron, which is already sometimes hard for people to absorb. And anemia in pregnancy fluctuates. You know, sometimes it goes up and down. We have to look at what's going on with the woman, check things like her ferritin too, and see like, is this just a lower hemoglobin hematocrit because of overall blood volume increase? Or is this actually true anemia. So just know that when you're getting your blood labs tested. But so a quick, like, easy distinguisher for your prenatals would be like, don't choose something that's going to have iron inside of it. So, okay, the second one I would add for your core is an omega-3. Now, unless you're somebody who's eating a lot of fish, which typically American women do not, you're probably not going to be getting enough omega-3 in general. Ideally, if I could wave a magic wand and make the perfect supplement, which there are ones that exist out there, and, you know, like, give everybody just an easy target amount, I would say you want to try to find 1,000 EPA and 1,000 DHA. So 1,000 milligrams. So you're getting about 1 gram of DHA and EPA per day in your kind of like omega-3 bundle. Now, sometimes people ask me about cod liver oil. Like, well, what about that? You know, yes, I also think that that's a good one. Do I say it's a core that every single person needs to take? No, but there is added benefits if you want to take it, if you can stomach it. You know, sometimes it comes down to like, I'm very nauseous. It's first trimester. I cannot take all these things. What are like the bare minimum that I need to take? So I would say cod liver oil is not probably going to make my list in that way. But if you can stomach it and you can take it, the benefit of cod liver oil, and a lot of omegas also have this if they're fish derived, is just a higher fat soluble vitamin kind of boost that you're getting with that. So the fat soluble vitamins are A, D, E, and K. So D we hear a lot about. K we hear a little bit about. Mostly people think about it with like newborn babies and getting a vitamin K injection or doing the oral drops. Nobody really thinks about vitamin E. They think about like skin. But vitamin E has a lot of benefits too. And then vitamin A, a lot of pregnant women are actually very afraid of because we've heard, oh my gosh, it's teratogenic. So teratogenic means it can give your baby a birth defect, which is true in an extremely high amount. But actually vitamin A is super duper duper important for fetal development in all kinds of ways. So we don't want to skimp out on our vitamin A.
Yeah. And I just want to add for people who are confused, and if you're looking for omega-3 supplements, why EPA and DHA? So they're different. The DHA is more for the baby's brain development, and the EPA is more anti-inflammatory. If you had to pick one over the other in pregnancy, I would lean more toward DHA just because that's much more helpful for baby's brain development, but it's ideal to have both. And then postpartum, both are important as well, but EPA has actually been shown to be really supportive for postpartum depression because it lowers inflammation. And, you know, when I was formulating for Needed, I had to dive really deep into all of the research on everything EPA and DHA and learned a lot. And it's just amazing, you guys, how powerful these nutrients are. So I'm glad that this made your top list because it's also on my top list for even fertility and hormones. It's just omega-3s are so, so, so important.
Yeah, honestly. Okay. So like those, I'm such a visual thinker, those take up like the whole bottom of my iceberg.
How appropriate. Cold water, EPA and DHA, like they usually come from cold water fish. So
get your fatty fish. Yeah. Yeah, your smash fish. So salmon, so that's an acronym, SMASH. Salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring. But actually mackerel has kind of a high amount of mercury. So in pregnancy, that one's not a great one. But the other ones are good if you can stomach them, again, if you like them. I am not somebody who loves a ton of fish. And omegas are going to be something I take for my whole life. So a really high quality prenatal and a good high quality omega, that's the bulk of it. Now, a lot of people also would benefit from, these are still kind of in my core because most people will still have great benefit and need them. I would say an additional magnesium, something that you take at night, and that's multifold. That's because, so Triple Mag by Vital Nutrients is my favorite one because it helps both with things like constipation, which a lot of people have in early pregnancy, also sleep quality, also cramping. So like muscle cramps, leg cramps, things like that can happen to you during your pregnancy. So a lot of, you know, your robust high quality prenatal will have some magnesium in it, but if you need more, you can take more. Again, I would also say vitamin D3, your prenatal will have some, but if you're very low in your vitamin D3, so the reference range is like from 30 to something. I don't even know what it is, but 30 is not ideal. If I saw 30, I would be like, no. We are supplementing robustly to get up into this like 70, 80 range. Okay. So if you have like a dose of 2000 to even 5000 IU per day and your level is 30 in your blood labs, it's going to take you like a year and a half to budge that number. It's just not enough. So having a vitamin D3 hopefully also contains K2 in it. So that's a version of vitamin K, because these are fat-soluble vitamins, and fat-soluble vitamins almost always pair together and work together in a synergistic way. And so there is a product by Orthomolecular that's a dropper form of vitamin D3 K2, which is my particular favorite because each drop is 1,000 IU. So it's very easy to give a good high dose amount. It's good and easy to give, like, you know, to kids a couple times a week in a smaller dose. It just can work for the whole family. But you're going to need to take more. And I can't tell you exactly how much you're going to need to take every day because it's going to depend on your lab. So talk with your doctor about it. But like, if you're at 30 and your prenatal has 2,000, which is like the needed prenatal has 2,000 D3, you're not going to budge that number. It's just a maintenance dose. So let's just pretend that person is put on by their naturopathic doctor, someone who's managing them, 10,000 IU per day. In addition, so overall, they're taking 12,000 IU per day for a set period of time, and then they will retest. That's what it might look like. So I'm not telling you to do that because you can go into vitamin D3 toxicity if your levels reach, you know, into the 100, above 100 and beyond. But again, if you're under the watchful eye of some practitioner, that is very unlikely to happen. But there's so many known benefits of really good, robust vitamin D levels for your baby, for their neurodevelopment, for their risk factors of things like autism, ADD, ADHD later on. It's just one of those that I do not think we mess with. And I know that the natural crunchy community is kind of like anti-vitamin D, which is so weird to me.
I know. I don't get it.
I know they're not anti-vitamin D. They actually are like worshippers of vitamin D, and they're like, let's get it from the sun. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's great. But certain skin colors and certain latitudes are just not going to be adequate enough for a good, robust vitamin D.
And certain genes. So there's a vitamin D receptor genetic mutation that a lot of people have, and it just takes a lot more vitamin D for those people. And I've ran hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of labs on people who live in Southern California, you know. Just because you have access to the sun and it's actually nice every single day, you could be outside all the time. And I see people who are outside all the time surfing, they still don't have adequate D. So some people do for sure, but typically we do need that support and it's just not a nutrient that we want to be messing with. And yeah, it's like that's a whole complicated thing. I also want to say one more thing about magnesium is if you are a person who's pregnant and struggling with taking a lot of capsules, I do like Needed's magnesium powder. Because it's their sleep support and it is safe during pregnancy, right?
Yes. Yep.
And that's a great one because I personally had a hard time taking capsules during my pregnancy just from nausea and vomiting. And that is a really lovely one that you can mix into a drink. It tastes really great. And so that's another form of magnesium because people confuse often. There's different forms of magnesium. And if you get the classic Calm magnesium powder that is advertised a lot, it's a different form of magnesium called magnesium citrate. And if you just drink a bunch of that, it will make you have diarrhea and like not feel great maybe in your gut. Or it can be used sometimes to help with a bowel movement. But I just want people to understand the difference and that sometimes just getting it in a powder, you want to make sure that the form is magnesium glycinate, not magnesium citrate, because a ton of powder drinking magnesium citrate can lead to more loose bowel movements. So if you're looking for a powdered magnesium and not another capsule, I do love Needed sleep support that has the right form of magnesium.
And just so that everybody knows too, I'm looking at it right now. So it's three forms, which that's my preference. And that's why I like the triple mag, is because there's three different forms of magnesium in triple mag. And in the Needed sleep support, it is taurinates, gluconates, and then there is some citrate. But I like the citrate though, and that's fine because again, that's going to help with constipation. So especially in the first trimester, a lot of women experience weird poop stuff. Sometimes people have loose stool, but I feel like though most of the time, at least in my experience with clients, patients, it's the opposite. It's like a constipated picture because of progesterone. Progesterone slows everything down. And when there's poop in your colon for a longer period of time, water is going to be pulled out of it. It's going to get dry. You're going to become constipated. So it slows the entire digestion down. So yeah, I love that you added that in. And I will actually talk about the Needed stress and it's not stress, but sleep and relaxation support more later. And then back to vitamin D really quick. The other thing to know is that if we were living, I mean, I'm a naturalist, you guys, I'm an evolutionary biologist. Like I want to think that we can do everything with nature and everything's going to be perfect. But this is what the reality is that people in Nordic countries or higher latitudes, like Idaho is on a higher latitude. And right now the sun is rising at like 8 a.m. and it's setting at what, 5 something? And it's only going to get worse, you know, as we get closer, deeper into the winter. And what would be happening, though, in those Nordic countries is that they're eating a ton of seafood that is high in those fat-soluble vitamins, high in the vitamin D. So they're getting it because they're not getting it from the sun. They're getting it in their diets. And Americans are just not doing that. And just general, you know, modern people. So you got to get it from somewhere. And yes, is magnesium important? And retinol and vitamin A and your liver and everything is important for your vitamin D? Yes. But sometimes we just need a supplement to get the level higher because we know we have so many studies that show when the vitamin D is this level, there's all these increased risk. When the vitamin D is this level, all those risks drop off. So it's like, however you need to get there, get there. Okay. So another one I would say that's like outside of my like core, but also there's so many benefits is probiotics. So if you have a situation where you've been taking antibiotics, obviously this is a no-brainer. But also if you maybe had GBS group B strep in a prior pregnancy, you don't want to get it this time. Taking a probiotic is a good idea. If you have any kind of vaginal microbiome issue in general, yeast, BV, whatever, there's a really good, robust selection of probiotics you can choose from that have the appropriate women's strains in them. You can sometimes take them orally and vaginally. You have to just know which strains can go up the vagina because there's only a few. There's different benefits for sure. If you have a really good, robust gut health and there's nothing kind of going on, do I think you need to take a probiotic every single day? No, not really, honestly. You can have one in your fridge and take it acutely for like an immune system boost if you're sick or something like that. But I tend to be like that with probiotics in general for people. Like use them when you need to for something. Do they need to be every single day? Not necessarily. Really, the best way to help support our microbiome is through the foods that we eat. Root vegetables, eating the things that the bacteria will grow on, and fermented foods, etc. Okay, so some of the others, though, that would be in my, like, just outside my very core stack would be, like I mentioned earlier, the iron. So if you need it, you need it. You need to dose it away from your calcium-containing supplements like your prenatal. And ideally, also, you dose it with vitamin C. You can eat something that has vitamin C in it alongside taking your iron. I also don't suggest taking iron on an empty stomach. So what I'm doing right now is I'm taking my prenatal in the morning and at night, and I'm taking my iron in the middle of the day.
I like that.
Because that's the only way I can figure it out. But I'm still working to increase my ferritin because it was so low after having Lyme disease for probably my whole life. But I'm working on it. It's better. It's 24.
You're doing great.
That's great.
You are doing great. I'm so proud of you.
So, and then I already kind of talked about cod liver oil. That's sort of on the side stack too. And then another one is choline. Now, this is probably closer actually to my core than the side stack, but it just, again, it depends on your diet. If you eat 2 to 3 eggs every single day and you eat a lot of other animal products, you're probably getting a fine choline dose. Again, in a good prenatal, you also should at least be getting some choline, or maybe that company offers a side choline kind of add-on. Because ideally, and this we learned, we can link this episode, the episode that we did on the how to build your baby's best brain, basically, with Dr. Ari Calhoun, that your recommended daily choline intake is 900 milligrams per day. Which is a lot. The average egg has like 120 milligrams. And so other foods are high, but choline is going to be best got either from eggs or a supplement. So that is something too that, you know, women who maybe do eat a lot of eggs typically in their lives, they get pregnant. Now they can't stomach eggs. Doesn't sound good. So you got to get your choline somehow. If you are looking for a delicious and effective supplement to help support the immune system of your entire family, from children through adults, including pregnancy and breastfeeding, look no further than the needed immune support powder. With elderberry, zinc, pre and postbiotics, arabinogalactans, and beta-glucans, this berry-flavored powder can be enjoyed on its own, or it can be mixed into smoothies, juice, sprinkled on yogurt, made into popsicles, or even gummies. It's something that I always keep on hand as part of our wellness routine, and it can support you through the entire year. Give it a try by going to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Again, go to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%.
So I get that asked this all the time, which is what can pregnant women take when they get sick? Because this is tricky. There's so many things that we're not allowed to do when we're pregnant. So what would you say when we get sick?
Yeah. All right. So first of all, I do have an entire course about this. It will be linked and you can get all of my dosages, all of my very top remedies that are safe and effective for both the populations of pregnancy and then into breastfeeding. Breastfeeding, your world opens up a lot, but there's still some nuance there. So that course details everything and it goes into a lot of detail about homeopathy, herbs, supplements, and then home remedies too. Home remedies meaning things like a nebulizer and hydrotherapy, etc. So some of the quick ones that I'll just say right now that surprise people that you actually do have available to you as a pregnant woman is elderberry syrup. Okay, cool, great. Best though taken in like the very first 24 to 48 hours of the illness. If you're like a week down into something, save your elderberry syrup for the next illness because it's not going to help you anymore. The way that it works is much more effective if you dose it in the very beginning. Okay, another one that's really great and safe in pregnancy is echinacea. And echinacea is a really powerful herb. It's antibacterial too. It's not just antiviral. Most of the herbs and things that we think about and take are more on the antiviral side. But echinacea has an antibacterial piece to it, which is really important because I find that people get a lot of kind of secondary bacterial infections in like their sinuses while pregnant because there's so much more congestion. There's so much more fluid. I mean, that even if you're not sick, just having a kind of congested nose is a pregnancy thing for many women. But now let's pretend that you do get a viral illness. You're blowing your nose constantly. You are sick. You're doing all the things. But now maybe a week later, you're starting to feel really bad again. You're getting another fever. And now the snot has maybe changed color to like a darker brown, something like that. And you're thinking that you have a sinus infection. So this is where I really push all my pregnant ladies who are getting sick to be very diligent about using echinacea. If there is a very snotty picture or like ears or a phlegmy cough, anything where there's that mucus that could be sitting there, because that's where the bacteria is going to grow. If you're going to get something like a secondary bacterial infection, or if you get like, you know, I don't know, some other kind of like obviously bacterial something, you can try echinacea for a little while. And sometimes, you know what, we have to take antibiotics. But echinacea is really great for that. This is where we can also add in things like probiotics, as I mentioned earlier, for an acute immune boost. Added zinc. Your prenatal will have some zinc, so you need to look at that dosage and figure out, okay, like let's say that for an acute period of time, we can take like 40 to 50 milligrams of zinc total for maybe like a 5-day span. We don't want to take it for longer than that, but like 30 milligrams of zinc every day in pregnancy would be great, actually. So getting to that level somehow would be awesome. You can take more vitamin C, and actually vitamin C in pregnancy needs to be talked about more than it is. Yeah, so actually vitamin C in pregnancy, if we had our ideal dosage, it would be like 3 to 5 grams per day. And hardly anybody is talking about that. I don't know why, but this has to do with like the integrity of your amniotic sac so that it doesn't, your water doesn't break too early. And then you go into preterm labor, your collagen and tissue expansion and of your hips and your joints, but also as you're building your baby's body, like all sorts of things. It's one of your main antioxidants, and it's very safe in pregnancy.
And a fun little fact about that, I remember in school we learned we're one of only a very small amount. I think it's like us and gorillas and like a small little rodent. We're the only ones that don't make vitamin C. Like we need to get it from our diet. And if we look at the animals that don't make it and how much they get from their diet, the amount, like you said, that we would need to mimic that is in that 3 to 5 gram mark. And we're not getting that as a total in most people.
Yeah, it's so don't be afraid to really go for it with vitamin C. Okay, also my favorite, Xlear nasal spray, because it has xylitol in it. Amazing. D3. You can take lemon balm for a short period of time. Yes, lemon balm may have some thyroid activity, but again, you're only doing this acutely during an illness. And that has an antiviral and an anti-fever effect to it. Lemon balm does. The herb name is Melissa officinalis. But also you can take things like beta-glucans and arabinogalactans, garlic, etc. So just know that there's an entire course available to you if you want to learn more about my dosages and my favorite things to do when you are sick in your phase of life of being pregnant or breastfeeding a baby and you're like, what can I do? Because it's honestly, it should be illegal for women who are mothers to get sick, especially when you're taking care of sick kids. Oh,
that's so hard. So are there any other supplements that are like totally safe, or are we now getting into the supplements that are kind of okay sometimes, but it's kind of borderline?
Okay, so let's just talk about 3 other categories that are safe, and then we'll go into the like middle ground and then the big red nose. Okay, so for tea, sometimes people are not coffee drinkers. They just want to drink tea, or they've heard that there's supportive herbs. I'm just going to list off a few. This is not an extensive list, but nettle, amazing, oat straw, alfalfa, dandelion root even, and then red raspberry leaf tea. So this one is controversial, and some people are going to say, no, you need to wait on red raspberry leaf tea until the third trimester or sometimes second trimester. And here's the thing. If you do have a very irritable uterus or you've had miscarriages and loss in the past, maybe we just hold off because the benefit, it's like a moot point. Like, do we need to do it in the first trimester? Like, no, we don't really need to. But I also think that like the vast majority of people are going to be totally fine with drinking some red raspberry leaf tea. It does have a uterine tonic aspect to it, especially if you've been drinking it prior to becoming pregnant. Maybe you were doing it as part of your preconception and then you get pregnant. I think it's probably very safe and fine, but a lot of people want to be extra cautious. So I just have to say that you're going to hear some controversial things about red raspberry leaf. So you could just focus on the others for now. Okay. For sleeping, because sometimes people have very rude, mean pregnancy insomnia. They're like, what can I do about this? Real quick list, some things that are safe in pregnancy: lavender, L-theanine and L-glycine, or glycine, and chamomile. So those latter three, the theanine, glycine, and chamomile, are all also part of the needed sleep and relaxation support. And so that is safe in pregnancy. That whole product, you can just like get a nice little wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of product to help you with sleeping if you need it. It would also obviously then be safe in breastfeeding. So if you have troubles in your sleeping with postpartum, which is such a mean thing too, like maybe, you know, you're having a hard time falling asleep between wake-ups with your baby. I know that very well now after my fourth postpartum. It was so hard. These kinds of things can be helpful to create more sleep pressure so that you have an easier time falling back asleep. Okay, and then melatonin too. So I'm not like a huge fan of melatonin all the time because I think that, you know, we just need to be cautious. But again, under the guise of, or the direction of some practitioner, melatonin can be safe too. And then a few others that are just trending right now or that people are talking about that you might be curious. Can we do this during pregnancy? Yes, you can take colostrum during pregnancy. Yes, you can take creatine during pregnancy. Now, the research on creatine during pregnancy is, you know, currently happening, but it's only good. Okay, creatine also is like a naturally occurring thing in our body. It's only good. There's nothing bad about it yet so far. Would I say overarching everyone should be taking it? No, but there are also particular populations who may be more at risk for things that creatine is really helping. Like if for some reason they know that their baby might have like a neurodevelopmental issue, or a blood flow restriction, because of the way that creatine helps with ATP production, there's some really good research and stuff that's happening there. It's very fascinating.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about that is making sure you get a good high quality source, because I know that there was some concerns with some of the products out of China and some other places that were maybe not good. So just making sure that wherever you're getting your products from, you trust the company and that it's really high quality.
Yes. And so I like the brand. I like Thorne. I like Now Sports. They have a good one too. But yeah, you don't want to just be going and getting Joe Schmo creatine. Also, I think that the creatine gummies that are very trendy right now online are such a joke because each one is 1 gram and you need to get to like 5, 10, somewhere in there, grams of creatine to have any kind of therapeutic benefits. And they're so expensive. It makes no sense. Just get a powder and mix it with your water. Also, if you mix it with electrolytes, you can't even taste it. So
tastes delicious. I know.
Yeah, it's great. So speaking of that, electrolytes, also safe in pregnancy, actually very highly recommended. I'm obsessed with Relite. I mean, I know you are too. Redmond is just a really good company. They're like needed, where it's like, oh, such a sigh of relief to find a really good high quality company that makes a really good high quality product and has not ruined it somehow in some way, shape or form. So if you like the saltier electrolyte taste, like Element or something like that, you will like Relite. If you want something that's not so salty or something that you can't taste at all, then I would suggest maybe the needed electrolytes, or Trace Minerals has a product called Concentrace. And those you just put like a few drops in your water, like I'm talking 3 or 4 drops per 8-ounce glass, and you shouldn't be able to taste that. There's another good one too called Beam, B-E-A-M, that has like no flavor. Okay, and then so colostrum, creatine, collagen, yes, it's a great one for pregnancy. We love collagen. Oh, digestive enzymes. Yeah, if you're having a hard time breaking down your food, which a lot of pregnant women do, that's a great one. And then like, this is kind of random, but CoQ10, a lot of women are taking CoQ10 prior to getting pregnant. They're like, can I keep taking this. You can, you don't have to, but yes, you can.
Yeah, perfect.
Electrolytes are trending, yes, but they have been in need of our human bodies for all of time. And if you're drinking another popular and delicious salty electrolyte, here's why you should be drinking Relight instead. First of all, have you ever considered the salt source of these other brands? Because most of them just use table salt. Yeah, table salt. You don't want that. Redmond's Relight Powders uses their unrefined ancient sea salt that they mine in Utah. This salt source contains 60 plus trace minerals along with calcium, chloride, potassium, and magnesium in two different forms, glycinate and malate. The minerals that they use in the Relight Powders are all in the appropriate proportions and forms too. The metabolic needs of pregnancy, healing postpartum, and milk making require more minerals than in other times of your life. Pregnancy itself demands huge increases in your blood volume, which takes, you know, more minerals. Relight is the perfect blend to be sipping during your pregnancy or during your labor even, and especially while you're breastfeeding. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavors oscillate between mixed berry, lemon lime, and the strawberry lemonade. But you can try a sample pack and try all the flavors for yourself and see what you think. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% on your entire Redmond order. That includes their OG sea salt, other seasonings, bentonite clays, toothpaste, and more.
So tell us, what are some supplements that are maybe safe sometimes, but are not safe to maybe take all the time? This is kind of the middle ground, it depends kind of supplements.
Yes. Okay. So what I would say is, like, everybody wants to know, can I drink coffee in pregnancy? Yes, you can. Is it good for you and your baby? Not necessarily, but it's not going to be detrimental until we're getting past like 300 milligrams of caffeine per day. So I say, just to be very conservative, if you can stay under the 200 milligram range of caffeine, you should be fine. The research that does exist shows that 300 and more milligrams of caffeine per day has a higher increased risk of miscarriage in the first trimester.
Can I also say something about coffee? I'm like the negative Nancy that keeps popping in. If you are going to choose coffee, though, again, being mindful of it, because coffee is one of the highest mold-inducing foods. So a lot of coffee has a lot of mold and a lot of pesticides and herbicides. So if you're just like everyday kind of dousing yourself with low-quality coffee that is covered in herbicides, pesticides, and mold, probably not the best thing for you and your baby. And also, if you're drinking it in a plastic cup, getting it from the coffee down the street or at Starbucks. So I just want to put that little thing in there that it's not always the coffee that's the problem. It might be the things that come on the coffee that could also not be the best.
No, it's so true, because you have to think about coffee. What is coffee? It's just soaking in hot water. You're just going to be consuming whatever that coffee bean was exposed to in hot water, and then you're drinking that water. So if there are mold spores on it, if there are pesticides that were on the outside of it, if there was any kind of cleaning solution or weird, I don't know, whatever, you know, they imagine this production of coffee. It's one of the biggest products and consumables in the world. So yeah, you got to get it from a good source. So on that same vein, green tea, like, probably a better choice overall, because at least there's a bunch of health benefits, but still you want to keep your caffeine in that range. Kombucha. So people are really worried because there's like 1% alcohol sometimes in kombucha. I'm not worried about that. I do think that sometimes like really chronic kombucha drinkers may want to look into like their overall yeast pictures in their body, because sometimes they can be really attracted to drinking kombucha all the time, and it's sort of feeding their yeast overgrowth problems. But like drinking a random kombucha every once in a while, totally fine. Even if you drink it once a day, again, totally fine for your pregnancy. I just do have like curiosities about that.
Yeah, they can be high in sugar. She can sneak a lot of sugar into kombucha too, and so people think it's a health tonic.
And there's some caffeine in kombucha too. Okay, and acetylcysteine, so NAC, is actually a really beautiful, amazing supplement. And even during pregnancy, like when you're ill, or even if you've had like a toxic exposure, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something.
Going on an airplane, like airplane flying, I think is both immune system and toxic-y, where NAC might be helpful.
That's a great one. Okay, so like you have had a toxic exposure, also maybe you're wanting to support your immune system, NAC is great. So NAC is also great for just illness in a situation where there's a lot of mucus, because it helps to thin the mucus out so that you can expectorate it. So you can either blow it out your nose, you can cough it up out of your lungs, you can get it out. It's also, though, the precursor for glutathione, one of the three precursors. So you're giving your body this nice like antioxidant boost, like, hey, here's this NAC, go make more glutathione so that we can handle the things that are in our body. So that brings me to glutathione, taking glutathione in pregnancy. I think under the guidance of a practitioner who can be using it with you acutely for something that's going on, it can be fine. But it does have this, like, you know, pushing detox kind of picture to it. So do we want to take it every single day? No. Okay, inositol. So sometimes people are getting pregnant on inositol because they have PCOS, or sometimes people are taking inositol during their entire pregnancy because they have something like Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And in those cases, again, I think there's a lot of benefit. I feel like you probably have more experience with inositol.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nutrient that I wouldn't say is super harmful. It's just, again, anything when it comes to pregnancy, we don't want to take anything that we don't absolutely need, because we don't know everything, you know, and there's so much more that we are learning about, and it's just added things. So it's not like I think it would be harmful, especially if metabolic blood sugar stuff is your issue. You know, if you did have PCOS or you had some sort of metabolic issue where you were having blood sugar issues, those can continue during pregnancy. And so would I rather you be on inositol than metformin during your pregnancy or something like that? Absolutely. But it just, if you don't have to be on it and you're like, oh, I just heard inositol is good, I should just add it to my pregnancy list, it's like, you don't need that, you know? So you pick and choose the supplements that you're taking very intentionally. Yeah, I would say it's a good one.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of why I wanted initially, without having like that clarity of thought, like you just outlined, that's why I had sort of like the core supplement stack. And then there's like the side ones, because yeah, if you don't need it, it's like, first of all, it's expensive. We don't want to add to your plate. And again, yeah, we don't know every single thing. And so there may be some negative something. So anyway, and inositol can be fine for certain populations. Mushrooms. So people, you know, the adaptogenic mushrooms, reishi, lion's mane, etc. So I think that reishi is beautiful and wonderful and great. Again, do you have to take it? No. But if you're like obsessed with it, you love it, it does have a nice calming effect to the nervous system, fine in pregnancy. Lion's mane, though, because it has a neurodevelopmental neuroplastic effect, which is really cool in adults, I just worry. It's just one of those I'm not willing to take the risk as you're building a brain, yeah, of a new baby. Like, why? We don't need to do that right now. So unfortunately, if you've been using it for your own memory and cognition and you're sad to have to start taking it, I get it. And sorry, like, you can take it again later. Like, that would be one in breastfeeding that I'd be totally fine with, just not during pregnancy. Okay, so then now I'm re-mentioning red raspberry leaf tea. Like, again, you know, it has its little bit of a nuance. It's not like a huge red flag, though, in my mind. Okay, Vitex, chaste tree berry. Sometimes people are getting pregnant on chaste tree berry, or sometimes called Vitex, like whatever the name, you know, there's always two names for herbs, and they're using it to help regulate their cycles. It has a progesteronic effect. So the nuance here with Vitex is that if you get pregnant on Vitex, ideally we either, you have one of two options. You stay on Vitex your entire first trimester, or you get on supplemental progesterone, because the fear is that if you pull it, let's say you're like 6 weeks pregnant and then you're like, oh shoot, I don't know if I should be taking chaste tree berry while I'm pregnant, I'm going to stop taking it. But now maybe that's actually been hiding a little bit of a low progesterone that you had, and it's been keeping you pregnant. And we don't want to pull it and then now have a miscarriage simply because there wasn't enough progesterone. So you can test, you can figure out your number, you can supplement, or you can continue taking on it. But just know that, like, little nuance that you'd want to take it for your whole first trimester and then you can stop. Greens powders, people always want to know, can I take a greens powder in pregnancy? Yes, if you can find one that doesn't also have a bunch of weird stuff in it, which is hard.
Yeah, and also quality is really important here, because a lot of the greens inherently are metal chelators. So they pull heavy metals from the ground, like chlorella and some of these other things. And so that's another one that it's like, do you want to be drinking a bunch of heavy metals if they're in the greens? You just have to be really mindful about the sourcing and trusting the companies and making sure that they're doing like third party testing and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And just really checking the label carefully too, because I feel like a lot of greens powders, it's cool when you're not pregnant, but they'll slip in like other superfoods and nutrients and things that actually aren't great during your pregnancy. So I don't have a brand recommendation for that one. I like the Thorn. I think it's called Greens Plus, but it's not good for pregnancy.
Yeah, I think Parallel came out with one, but I would have to look into their quality to know if it's like good or not.
Okay, and then the last one that's kind of in this like middle ground is milk thistle, because milk thistle is lumped into a category of herbs that all have to do with like detox. And so people will be like, oh no, you can't take milk thistle during pregnancy because we don't want to push detox pathways during pregnancy. But actually, milk thistle has a really good, well-rounded kind of liver protective picture to it, it's not going to push phase one and phase two detox, which is like the methods of how the liver gets rid of toxins in the body. There's phase one, then it goes into phase two. And there are herbs that push those pathways, or they help increase and upregulate various components to those pathways. Milk thistle does not do that. It actually acts as like an antioxidant inside the liver. It reduces inflammation. It helps protect the liver from toxins. And it has like a really cool anti-nausea, morning sickness thing, some hyperemesis gravidarum research around it too. So, or at least anecdotal. And so that can be cool maybe to consider if you are having a really hard time with nausea. You could consider adding that. It's because of the compound inside of milk thistle that's called silymarin. You can do some more research there. And that actually just reminded me, one that I did not have written down on my list is taking something like a DAO enzyme. So I mentioned digestive enzymes earlier. And one other one, if you are really, really struggling with nausea, you can take a histamine breaking down enzyme called DAO. And it is something that is made in the liver. But what happens in pregnancy is that there's like a lag. There's a huge increase in histamine happening from the placenta, from the pregnancy itself. And your body hasn't had enough time to catch up and make enough DAO to break that histamine down. And so an excess of histamine can make us feel nauseous. And so again, under the guide of a practitioner, you can work with using this enzyme to kind of get you through that time period.
Love that. And some people genetically don't make enough DAO. So that can also be a factor if you're someone who has repeatable nausea in pregnancy, aka me.
I know.
It's okay. I figured it out. I did genetic testing and I know now. And if I would have known it back then, it would have maybe been different, but that's okay. You know it now. So you all benefit from my constant vomiting.
Yeah. Learn from our suffering. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
If you are looking for a simple, natural way to nourish your body and support your hormones and fertility, look no further than Fawn Regenerative. Fawn crafts time-honored foundational foods like bone broth, tallow, and lard that reclaim vital nourishment. Their bone broth is slow-simmered over 18 hours with equal parts bones and water for maximal nutrient extraction. Did you know that most other brands don't even make their bone broth from scratch? This is gut nourishment in a jar, which is essential for supporting your hormones and fertility. They are special because they use verified regenerative animal ingredients and organic infusion ingredients. You get pure, clean food bottled in glass. No concentrates, no powders ever. I'm really picky about bone broth, and I love that I can simply sip Fawn's bone broth, and it's absolutely delicious. If you are fond of your fertility and your hormones, and you want to nourish yourself from the inside out, I highly recommend you check out Fawn. Just sip it or use it as your sous chef in any of your recipes. Visit FawnRegenerative.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 10% off your first order and start your Fawn foundation. Again, that's FawnRegenerative.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER. Okay, now what should we not take in pregnancy? What are the things that we should stay away from?
Okay, so I kind of lumped these into a few different categories. Things we should not take in pregnancy. The one that I get asked about probably the most is adrenal adaptogen type herbs. Now, like ashwagandha, shatavari, rhodiola, schizandra, the things that are in like the needed stress support, which I'm obsessed with. It's my MVP of all time favorite supplement. And the second your baby comes out of your body, go for it. You should start taking it only in the morning time, but you should totally start taking it then. And it's safe in breastfeeding. It is not safe in pregnancy because these herbs are really wonderful and beautiful, but they do have some hormone modulating effects. So whether it's with cortisol or even like actual estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, we don't want to be affecting the way that our HPA axis, our hypothalamic pituitary adrenal gland system, is talking to each other. We don't want to be modulating that during pregnancy. Even though it might feel great to want to do that, I get it. No, sorry. It's not our time. We need to wait.
Yep. For us or for the baby. You know, we don't want hormonal shifting things during a baby's development, because what is around your body during their hormonal development impacts how they will be for a long time. So.
Exactly. So this would include things like maca as well. Okay, now some immune system things that you should avoid during pregnancy, which, I mean, most of the time people are going to be very conservative during pregnancy. They're not going to want to take anything. They're going to be researching extensively. But just in case you're like, oh, well, I often see echinacea golden seal tinctures in the store, I'm going to go grab that because I know Echinacea is safe. So like maybe Golden Seal is safe. Nope. Okay. So Golden Seal is not safe and neither is Oregon grapefruit. So these are berberine containing herbs and they do have a uterine stimulation aspect to them. They're also just like very, very intense with their antimicrobial activity. Some other things that maybe you have in your medicine cabinet that you'd love to be able to take that you would in your non-pregnant state that you cannot during pregnancy would be things like oregano oil or grapefruit seed extract. Or astragalus. So astragalus is more of like a long-term immune stimulant adaptogen. It kind of takes like a couple months to really start working. But again, we're not going there. We don't want to be causing any kind of immune system shifting in our own bodies, nor for the fetus. Okay. And then, I mean, this one is kind of like, I don't know why people would be doing this, except at the very, very end of pregnancy as potentially something they're trying to do to get the baby out. But again, only under the guide of a very well-experienced midwife would I ever dip in with these herbs. But uterine stimulants like the cohoshes, so black and blue cohosh, no, we do not take these things during pregnancy.
Including castor oil. I mean, some people might know that's obvious, but castor oil is not anything you could do topically or internally. Obviously, unless you're trying to have the baby come out of your body. So don't do it. Be like, oh, I heard the castor oil packs. I'm going to like drink it, put it all over me. Like, yeah, also a uterine stimulator.
Yes. So glad that you said that. Even topically, we do not do castor oil packs during pregnancy. Like, no. If you want to use castor oil like on your eyelashes or something during pregnancy, fine. But we are not doing like a warmed abdominal castor oil pack. We're not ingesting castor oil. Okay. Now, a lot of them, the things we can't take are the mental, emotional things that affect our psyche. So obviously we know, you know, alcohol, nicotine, cannabis, things like that. Those are obvious, but some of the more gentle, natural ones that you might be interested in, like passion flower, skullcap, valerian, kava. Unfortunately, you guys, these are no's. Like we just can't do it. Okay. Even the like mental health supportive things, like 5-HTP or nootropics. So nootropics that might help you with focus. So like Needed has a cognitive support, which is fine in breastfeeding, but it's not safe in pregnancy. We don't want to be taking anything that is going to be affecting our mental emotional state that could cross the placenta and thus affect the baby's mental emotional state. So like for instance, 5-HTP alters our serotonin pathway and signaling. It does cross the placenta and it could alter the baby's developing serotonin pathways. So we don't want to do that. But something like SAMe is one of those like this borderline where it's probably fine because it's naturally occurring. It's just really a methyl donor. But we don't actually know. So, I mean, there's other ways to support our mental emotional health in pregnancy that I would choose over that. But so, yeah, that's kind of like, that's my list. I know that was a lot.
That was like an entire course. That is a course that anybody could learn about all of the herbs and nutrients for pregnancy. Ah, you're amazing. You're such a wealth of knowledge. Is there anything else you want to say as we wrap up?
Okay, one thing I do want to say, because people are going to be like, do you have research? Do you have papers to show this? Here's a lot of the time we don't. And that is just a clinical reality that like, as a clinician, we know we sometimes don't have exact data to show that something is indicated for a particular problem or safe in a particular population, but we use our historical contexts and our known, sometimes anecdotal, but like clinical context to say that this is fine. And so there is going to be, if you're one of those really, really research data-driven people, you'll be disappointed to find that there's not a lot because pregnancy and breastfeeding are protected populations. It is unethical to do randomized double-blind controlled trials on these populations because what if we were actually doing something negative to their body? So that is, you just have to know that. And I feel like I'm pretty conservative in pregnancy because I just, why? You know, like to me, there has to be a really good reason that we're going to take something because it's going to help and mitigate risk on the back end. Like for instance, taking a higher dose of echinacea for 5 days so that I can avoid antibiotics to me is a good idea, even though echinacea does actually have pretty good safety research in pregnancy. But people might be like, I don't know, worried about that for some reason. Or NAC, like I would totally double up those two therapies together when I had something going on. But then, you know, you back off, you stop. You're just, it's a dynamic dance. It's always best under the guidance of a practitioner who can help you with this. But certain things like homeopathy, always safe in pregnancy. Like, and breastfeeding and a 5-second old baby, like, you know, so have at it with your homeopathy. These supplements I wanted to talk about, though, are like more in the either herbal or nutraceutical category. So yeah, that's what I would say. Just like have caution. I'm not your doctor. This is not medical advice. This is all educational. You need to talk with somebody and be under their guidance so that you have that kind of clinical eye that knows what to look for.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan, for everything. And this has been awesome.
Thank you. If you are pregnant or breastfeeding and wondering what you can take if you become ill, have allergies, or get a UTI, you can take my Managing Illness While Pregnant and Breastfeeding course and get all the answers to those questions with my favorite, most effective remedies, ranging from homeopathy to herbs to supplements to home remedies. I cover all of the different things that I think are the most effective strategies for this protected population, which, no, you are not just left in the dust. You don't have to just suffer because you're pregnant or you're breastfeeding when you get a cold, flu, have allergies, or a UTI. There's actually a lot that we can do, and I walk you through all of the proper dosages, the things to think about, and the different strategies and ways that you can combine these therapies for the most effective management. So go to the link in my show notes here for that Managing Illness While Pregnant and Breastfeeding course, or you can go to my website, milkmedicine.com, and find it there. I hope it helps.
In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.